Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, so
hey,
how we doing?
Oh, it's nice in here.
It's warm.
You need suntan lotion?
I'm gonna go back to wearing shorts and a polo again. Gonna be a must.
What did you get? One of those refurbished parts? I stuck in that sucker last week. Chewing gum and hairpins.
I've tried to understand what it is that happens, but I guess when the fire alarm goes off,
yeah,
something blows up.
So blame the fire department, right? The good people at the fire department.
That the accurate description.
Yeah.
Blows up and then it sucks.
Yeah, it's their fault.
Yeah. It'll be 8 more weeks before it cools down again for a
We're
day
status.
Or two. I'm glad I left the fan here.
What the hell's going on in here?
Glad I left the fan in here. All right, nobody cares about that.
Yeah,
let's
care.
Move on.
Yeah.
Day two. Patriots, Bengals, sideline taping. The story continues. Bill Belichick is going to talk next hour.
Oh, this will be fun.
In Foxborough at 11:45. We'll see what happens there.
Housley won't be there, but the other ones will.
Byron Barnett?
Maybe. I think Housley's been down in D.C.
The people's champ. I hope
covering
he waits.
All that stuff.
I hope he waits his turn and doesn't ask a question without being called on.
We'll see.
Call that the Byron Barnett rule down in Foxborough.
How do you feel about it another day in?
Well, I think it's good news. The reports that are coming out of the owners' meetings are good news for the Patriots.
It's like stupid mistake. You know,
they're going to take the story at face value, and that is an incredible break if true.
Well, maybe that's probably what the tape shows, as we talked about it in length yesterday. But
Do you think the owners have seen the tape?
Ours?
No, owners across
owners?
The league.
No, I don't.
See, I don't either.
I
don't think it's based on what's on the tape.
This is on the commissioner and his people.
That's why I'm saying if the league feels this way and owners across the league, and I know those who are at the league meetings are reporting on this, the league meetings,
right.
The owners meetings with owners and some executives is going on outside of Dallas right now. It wraps up there. This is pretty much it today. The general feeling has been that they're not going to severely punish the Patriots.
That seems like the tone, and that's how it's turned.
They're taking the story. I don't think the tape, because I don't think they've circulated the tape by now. But it feels like the other owners and the executives in the league and the league office are going to take the story at face value, which I would say, given the Patriots' history and given the level of anger from other owners across the league about their activities, that's a big win. That is a huge win. That is an upset.
You know, and I said this yesterday, and I think this is the tough part for other teams and other teams that aren't good, or you don't have the ability or the funds. You do have the funds because your owners make a ton of money, or you just don't want to have your own network and do this type of stuff to expand content for your .com site or television shows or whatever surrounds your team. Then you look at this and say, look, they're trying to cheat here again. Look at this. This is ridiculous. We got to nail them on this. We got you in cold. We got you dead to right. Right? I don't think they do. And I think that's by looking at the tape and whoever's telling, the guys down there that are covering the league meetings down in Texas at the Four Seasons there in Las Calizas. What's the name of it? Los Colas? Las Calices?
I forget the exact name of the town.
Right outside of Dallas.
In front of me.
Or probably looked at the tape and say, yeah, it's kind of what happened, and it's a stupid mistake on her part.
But if the tape is a sideline, that doesn't exonerate them.
No, it's illegal. You can't tape a sideline.
Right, no matter what. I mean, so what somebody was on the tape? If they zoom in on the sideline and they still take the story at face value, that even zoomed in taping maybe more than 8 minutes. We'll get to more on that in a second. It appears it was more than 8 minutes. If all of that went on,
yeah,
then the tape itself is not telling the story. The story is the version of events the Patriots have given. And that's what they're buying in on. Because how would you know if the tape is zoomed in on a sideline for the first quarter and they take it just based on the tape, well, then the tape is going to make them guilty of something that they don't want to be guilty of. And so they've explained what happened, and they're taking the story, not the tape. And that's why I asked, do you think the owners have seen the tape? I doubt it.
No.
I really do. I doubt that they've circulated that tape. And I would disagree with those who believe that Goodell is going to have to show the tape to the world. That we're all going to see the tape?
We always want to see the tape. I mean,
of course. But if they're not upset about it, and those are, and Mark Maskey was on this yesterday, and Mark Maskey has no dog in this fight. That's one of the best NFL reporters out there, Washington Post. His report was that, you know, it doesn't feel like they're going to go after them on this. I heard Seth Wickersham today say that people are more sort of confused by how the hell did this happen,
right,
as opposed to being pissed at the Patriots. Again, huge win if that's the consensus opinion at the owners' meetings. Huge win. So they're taking it at face value. That's good. Good for the Pats.
Yeah, it's great for them. I mean,
I don't think
great.
That tells us what the truth was.
Because I think there's going to be perception out there. It's another thing, another notch on there that you're going to say, well, look, this is what they did. I mean, it comes out, you know, the week that Bill's doing the Saban documentary with him and, you know, the coaching thing, and Bill's been doing the top 100 players and teams, and it's just crappy timing. And it happened on a week where you're playing that team and you're going into that stadium. Put you in a little more of a pressure cooker.
I don't know if they're crappy time. I mean, they did it on Sunday.
No, I mean, but you got
their own timeline.
You have to select which game you're going to, right? I mean, you could have gone advanced scout Buffalo and the Ravens, because you got Buffalo in 2 weeks, right? You chose not to go to Buffalo to watch the Ravens. You went to Cincinnati, or excuse me, Cleveland. You know, and then you got to go out there and beat Cincinnati's ass this week. You go out there and flub one against these guys, you know what the outcry is going to be next Monday? Puts a little more pressure on the team. And maybe it galvanizes them.
So last night there was a report about the 8-minute tape that we spent quite a bit of time talking about yesterday.
Yep.
This from Jeff Howe, the Bengals staff member who recognized the activity in the press box, then shot an 8-minute video of the Patriot crew's monitor before reporting it to security. NFL security got involved, and the Patriots turned over all footage from the entire week of filming the scout, including everything from Sunday. The Bengals also turned over the 8-minute video they recorded of the Patriots monitor.
So wait a minute. So there's a monitor that is hooked up to this camera that is behind them as part of a set that they're filming a monitor?
No, I think monitor could mean...
Well, this is a monitor
smaller,
right here.
No.
Viewfinder.
Viewfinder, whatever. You do. Yeah, you have those traveling. They look like an iPad.
That's connected to the camera.
Yeah, the little thing that flops off
the camera.
Something that flips out is technically
a monitor of what you're monitoring that you're...
Yeah, I guess.
You know, you're looking at. So they were taping the screen attached to the camera for 8 minutes, and it was apparently on the sideline. That would mean that the taping of the sideline was not 8 minutes. The taping of the taping was eight minutes, which means they may have been taping the sideline for much longer than 8 minutes. And apparently at the end of the first quarter is when this wrapped up and when everyone got involved. So it is plausible that the Patriots videographer sat there and taped the entire first quarter of that sideline before he was stopped. That is plausible here. It is possible that that is what actually happened, and what was caught was 8 minutes in real time at the end of that first quarter by the Bengals employee.
No, and that's why people want to see the take, because you want to know exactly how it was filmed and the way it was filmed. Like, if you're videoing this monitor, and here's my question, is the photog moving around the scout? Or is he just flat up against that glass in a still position where you got more than 8 minutes filming a sideline?
Here's something
that's
else.
Where
is it like that Jay Glazer video where it goes to the scoreboard where it shows down and distance, then back to the sidelines, then back to the scoreboard, then back to the sidelines?
Well, that wouldn't be good.
No, that'd be terrible.
That'd be terrible. And if that was the case, I don't think you'd be getting a little snippets of probably siding with the team.
Why couldn't you just match up your tape with another tape later on and sync them up?
I don't know. I'm just telling you how they did it in the past.
Yeah.
Remember the Glazer revealed that one tape, that little in 2007? And that's what it was. It went up to the... It's like when you see the All-22 film.
It goes to down a distance and time a game, then down.
And then back to the sideline,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the other part that I think was important in this was a three-person team that was sent out there from Boston, including one producer, and that producer was a full-time employee of the Patriots, of Kraft Sports Productions. So this producer was part of the crew, and it was the producer who decided to shoot the video and set up the camera where it was set up. Not this independent contractor, as we keep getting, like they know nothing about him, like he's never worked there before. Keep getting that one thrown out there, the independent contractor, which is such a farce that this is being put out there, because that's how these guys, in the nature of their business, they get paid. They get paid as independent contractors.
Right, technically that's how they work. They do gigs all
by throwing that freelancer or independent contractor is a way of trying to throw up some sort of separation between the Patriots and those who are working. But you know what? You don't even need that, because it was the producer, the full-time employee of the team, who set up the camera and made that call. So there is really zero excuse for that individual not knowing the rules. None. Someone who's working full-time for the Kraft Sports Productions of the New England Patriots not knowing that rule, not knowing not to do that? The Patriots have unknowingly. Well, if he didn't know, he should have known. And that's squarely on you.
And if so, let's stop talking about... You're going to be held accountable for it.
Yeah, let's stop talking about the cameraman who didn't know the rules.
No, cameramen do what they're told to do. And maybe they add some of their stuff to it. You know, acquire as much footage as you can. But they need some sort of a specific, right? You need some sort of direction. That's why there's a producer or director there.
Well, the producer, according to Jeff Howe's story, didn't know the rule. The producer didn't recognize that their preferred game day access, referring to the access they get in Foxborough, was restricted solely to the Patriots bench and not to other teams. So that video they had taken over the years was only because they were the in-house video and that they weren't allowed to tape other teams. Like, come on, do you find that believable? That this team has full-time producers on their staff who film football games every weekend, and they say, hey, we're only allowed to film our stuff. We can't film the other team. No kidding. That should be obvious to everybody. So I just think some of the denials here are falling flat, that it was the rogue cameraman. Guess what? It was the producer. That's bull crap. That it was the freelancer, the independent contractor. Yeah, well, not really. Nope. It was the guy that works for the team full time who set that camera up. He set it up. Bad news for them. And it turns out the 8 minutes was 8 minutes of taping the taper, which means at the end of the first quarter when they shut it down, they may have taped the entire first quarter. That looks mighty suspicious for the team.
Or may not have, based on the reports that you're getting that they may go light on them. Like, I read into that.
Okay, I'm concerned with the facts, though.
Like, well, I know. The facts are facts. You filmed the sideline. Yeah.
Like, what happened?
You don't put out the statement you did the other day.
So you taped a minimum of 8 minutes that we know of the sideline, and it was shut down at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, he might have been taping other things, and then all of a sudden, midway through the first quarter, set up and started taping, and then that's when the guy noticed and started taping him, too. I mean, it's possible either way.
And this is the toughest part for the Patriots. Before you release that statement, you didn't have the tape, so you have no clue what the guy filmed.
May have.
So you got to go by what he told you. So I'm sure they talked to the camera guy before they put out that statement. Like, what did you film?
All right, more on the owners' meetings and what they're going to decide for the Patriots and your calls, 617-779-0985. I also have another very significant question that everybody should be asking. I don't hear it. Huh. We'll do that coming up next.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
985, the Sports Hub.
Everybody.
Come, they told me, our newborn king to see, our finest gifts we bring, to lay before the king,
I'm an owner at those meetings.
This is not the right drummer boy.
But I'm an owner. To honor
him. We're talking about this subject, it is.
If you're a billionaire and you own an NFL team and this happens, okay, you and I, Zoe, we want to see the tape. Hardy wants to see the tape. Jim, T-Bone,
yeah.
Everybody listening, we all want to see it.
I want to see both tapes.
Yeah, of course. Both
I
tapes.
I want to see how conspicuous this guy had to be to go tape the other guy.
Right. Yeah, I have a hard time believing.
What's he holding his phone down by his hip?
I have a hard time believing that even Jeff Pasch, you know, stomping on the tapes in the conference room in Foxborough many years ago, that even with that having happened in this league, that they are going to put this tape out or let it get out. And
of course,
I hope I'm wrong. I hope that happens. I hope someone gets pissed off and gets a copy of it and wants to put it out so we can all see it for ourselves. But if I'm a billionaire owner in this league,
yeah,
I'm going to Roger Goodell yesterday and saying, hey, Rog, here. I'm going to need a copy of that tape, big guy. Yeah, I'm your boss. I'm one of your bosses.
Right.
And I'd round up a couple other owners and go to the big man and say, yeah, not this time. The other owners want to see the tape. I'm withholding any sort of judgment on this, good or bad. I want to see it. You need to show it to us this time. At the very least, that should be happening, which is why I'm so shocked by some of the reports that everyone's like, eh, yeah, just, you know, whatever. Get it wrapped up by the end of the week and get this over with. Because if I were an owner, I'd demand to see that tape. They have a right. They own a team.
There's a lot of people, and I guarantee you this, owners and high executives within the league that work for other teams that really don't understand what the hell they're trying to do. Or what do you mean you have your own network or your TV production? They never heard of that. Like, there are teams that don't have this. Some try to do
it. I don't think it's all that difficult of a concept to understand. I mean, I'm sure NFL executives say, oh, you have in-house video guys. Sure, great. Can I see the tape now?
And it's going to be that brazen where Patriots gear and Bruins gear and bring a camera into a press box and film the sideline? And like, oh, that's just...
Here's my big question that no one is answering, and I wish more people were asking it. And that is, where the hell was the advanced scout during all of this? Where was he seated in that press box while they were doing this?
Front row, right?
I don't know that that's clear. I mean, for his sake, he should not want to be near them based on what went down.
Right. I heard Bedard yesterday on Felger.
Where was the scout himself during this whole process?
So I guess Bedard knows who he is. So Bedard said he was in Kansas City a week ago prior to the Kansas City game, and he said that same scout was two seats down from him. So he just sits there with the general press, I guess.
Yes, no, that's happens often.
I guess.
See in Foxborough all the time, scouts in for a bum. From a bunch of different teams.
Yeah, they have their logos on.
Yeah.
It's legal.
It's not, I'm saying, but where was he in relation to where the camera guy was?
I agree. Yeah.
Because they did an interview that took place before the game.
Yeah.
And then he goes to work doing his work during the game. Was he seated next to the guy with the camera on a tripod angled in on the sideline? What was his role in all of this?
How about if
he was... What was he aware of? Did he at all instruct anybody? Hey.
What if he was in row three?
Why you got that camera down there? Throw that on the sideline.
No,
where was he?
If he was in row three and the camera's in front of him up against a glass, isn't he saying, like, what the hell are you doing? You can't
right.
do that.
Hey, guy, whoa, stop doing that.
I wonder if they're pissed at him, too. Not, I mean, you know, but you okayed, you had to okay the filming of it to put in a request through your organization to get credentialed to do it. Man.
Where was that guy during all of it? That's what I'm curious to know. Where the hell was the scout? 617-779-0985. Let's go to your phones. Pete's in Ohio today. What's up, Pete?
Hey, boys. Happy Wednesday.
What's up, Pete?
Hey, here's a quick question. The Bengals are 1-11. What does the Patriots benefit? How do they benefit from recording any of their stuff on the side? They are such a piss poor team.
It doesn't matter. You're not allowed to do it.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Do you think this galvanizes the Patriots? Do you think that Belichick is gonna rally like they did back in 07, right?
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, they did that as a football, as football. Football aired on that, not TV side. Like, there's a division here. But again, it brings football into the topic now, and you're pictures everywhere, and it's a headline. Are they doing it again? How much does that piss him off? You know, now you want to go out and paste their excuse me. Drop that. Almost. I didn't say the whole thing. No, I didn't say the whole thing. You want to go out there?
I don't know what you said.
You want to go out there and lay one on Cincinnati? Almost said it. It was close. You heard it, right, Hardy?
I pulled off though.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
All right then. Mike in Attleboro. Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So I actually, last night I was laying in bed. I got a report from Bleacher Report, and they were saying that the commission, his executives were saying that, you know, Bill can't possibly be this stupid, and that they were looking to maybe come down a little hard on them. I don't know if you guys heard anything on that, or if, I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
Who? The commission?
The commission that oversees this. Whatever.
There's a commission now?
Bleacher Report.
Yeah, Bleacher Report is sort of junk.
That was Mike Freeman, the Mike Freeman article that Tom sent us last night.
There's no commission, though.
You can't just read the tweets or the headlines in the story. You got to read the details.
So Bleacher, we get this all the time. Bleacher Report has like some app that people download, and it sends like these blurbs. And people are like, "You see this report? Like, what? That's not a report. That's some crappy tweet that they put into an app that they alert you with. Why don't you read the story?" Yeah, that's the problem with that. You can't just read the headlines on there. Oh, yeah. Matt's in Stoneham. Matt.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Hey.
Everybody on the show is really good at kind of bringing understanding to the people who may not, you know, have insight like you guys and stuff. But this story in particular, there's a lot of things I don't understand. And the first thing, I guess, is why would anyone want to film a scout that just seems like you're filming somebody who's sitting in a chair taking notes? I don't really see the benefit of that. And also, like, I guess if that is pointless, like, it seems to me like the Patriots did kind of do some deception here, I guess, to get this all on tape and stuff.
Well, not deception. They showed up in their gear and they got credentialed.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't maybe you didn't alert enough people to this, and maybe that's part of the problem.
I don't understand why. What if you, if they said, hey, can we come and film a scout?
That's what they did.
It just seems like a pointless act to me. Like, why would anyone? My question would be, why do you want to film a scout? He's just sitting there taking notes.
Because they do these little documentaries on the inner workings of football operations on a daily basis, weekly and yearly. And what do they do? What do the video people do? What does equipment do?
I feel like they could get the same effect with a photograph because the guy's just sitting there taking notes.
Could be, but it's a video feature and you're going to be better with a video than a still photograph. But here's what the question is: this worth it? Is this worth it to be bringing cameras into press boxes and into other stadiums with other games? No, it's not. It's not worth it. These features are not worth this headache.
See, this is a tough one too, not because
essentially he's asking, why would anyone watch that?
Yeah,
but people do.
People do.
People consume the crap out of this.
See, this is a tough one too because of the content of why. Okay, so you're doing an advanced. You're doing a thing on an advanced scout. What is the advanced scout there for? To pick up things on that sideline. So there's like double alert number two there. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And you're filming him? Oh, wait. Didn't you guys do this like a decade ago?
I mean, this kind of gets to the whole point of this. And, you know, rules are rules. I'm not questioning whether or not there was any, you know, violation there. Apparently there was. You can't have a video camera up there trained down on the field. But the advanced scout is up there doing what the video would do. It's the same thing. You're up there.
Yeah, but you can't. What? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's writing things down.
He has the right to sit there and view it and look through binoculars
and
notes on what it is he saw.
Right. And now,
but they have made a rule that you cannot, with the aid of electronics, be videotaping it.
Right.
See, and everybody says signals. Yeah.
That's their rule.
10 years ago, you had to signal things in. You didn't have. The quarterback was the only one with the green dot with the headset on. Now you do with defense. There's four guys with it. That's how plays are sent in. I mean, there are little hand signals for secondary. You know, I mean, you have what, in essence, two coordinators with Steve Belichick and Mayo? Which one calls? Which one handles secondary?
I mean, the benefit would
that's
be...
That's what I would do if I was studying
would
the
...would be minimal,
bench.
As was the same benefit when they went to great lengths to record in 2006, 2007, in that time period. That also was a... Even with knowing the signals.
Right.
The defensive signals.
See, this is...
How are you going to then use them in a live situation to alert your players on the field of what the signals were and what they meant, right? That was always brought up during Deflategate, and it's logical to bring that up. But then you go right back to the same question. Well, then why the hell were you doing it in the first place? This seems really stupid. And Bill Belichick has told people, oh, it's way down the list in terms of prep. I heard forget which reporter, trying to remember who it was, that said after Deflategate, Bill told me that, you know, on a list of 100 things to get ready for a game, that was number 99. That was Tommy Curran, right? I heard that yesterday.
I don't know.
To which I say, Right. And then it comes right back to the same question. So why did you do this in the first place? I believe him. Why did you do it then? And there's never a good answer for that, ever. Brady had, you know, footballs there on the low side in the game against the Colts. Great. Did he perform any worse when they start pumping them up to full pressure in the following year?
Why did flex the who man out? When they find loopholes to things, they will push it.
Did those fumble numbers for this Patriots skyrocket? No. Turns out they're just a team that's good at protecting the football because it's one of the things that Bill Belichick has preached forever. It's one of his core values. So why'd you do it?
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
100% on Bill the GM when it comes to the offensive problems and personnel.
If this team does not win a Super Bowl, it's because of the moves that Bill made on offense or the lack thereof. I mean, he basically said with his choices, what he did on defense, keeping everybody. I mean, they don't have a backup center, yet they have eight different linebackers to choose from to play in a game.
All right, great point there on the defense, Greg. Wonderful. That's the wrong clip. We didn't mean to play that.
Way to go, Jim. Sausage fingers back
there.
That's
all right. See, Jim, Greg cuts in there.
Jim has his touchscreen, his new touchscreen, his new system, and Jim licks his fingers. And
yeah, it's very fancy.
Eating his chicken in there.
Very sweaty today.
Sweaty. Yeah, it's hot in here. It feels like the air came on, though.
Bill Belichick is going to speak next hour, a little more than an hour from now. 11:45 is what he is scheduled for. 11:45.
We will carry it live.
Kyle Van Noy is scheduled to join us next hour as well. We'll see what he's got going on.
He was offended.
Preparation.
Offended.
He was offended. I wouldn't say offended is the right word. He said the booing was disrespectful, and then he sort of took it back and said it didn't bother him. If something's disrespectful, it should probably bother you.
If he brought it up in the first place without even being asked about it, it bugged him.
Here's the audio of it if you want to hear what he had to say about the booing.
That was a spirited football game. Absolutely had a playoff atmosphere to it, I thought.
Too much booing for me.
Did the booing irritate?
I thought it was disrespectful, but it is what it is.
But to you guys, does that deflate?
No. I mean, can control what we can control, right? I mean, yeah.
No, the booing bothered you. I can tell.
No. Why would booing bother?
Because it was the first thing you mentioned.
You brought it up.
Well, you asked if it had a playoff atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. They so get booed during the playoffs.
Okay. We're hungry. We're trying to win. We put so much hour and, you know, so many hours, time, sacrifices into each week, and we just want to win. And obviously it sucks when it doesn't go the way we want, but know that we're all trying, and we're trying to put the best product out on the field. We're not trying to disappoint anyone, but just imagine as a fan or a media person that's cheering for us, imagine our feelings are probably 100 times more because, you know, our livelihoods are on the line and we want to win.
It's okay to say you didn't like being booed.
Yeah.
I mean, who likes getting booed?
That's good. I'm glad.
Wrong with that.
Hey, I'm glad that they got upset.
I don't know why he didn't just stick with it.
Right.
He didn't just stick with his answer. You know?
4:30 game, biggest home game of the year. It's Kansas City.
Don't ever compare me to Rodney Harrison.
It's 20-7 at home.
It's only because we play different positions. Like, what is it? Which way is it here?
Well, we'll ask him.
We will. He'll talk to us next hour. Kyle Van Noy. What?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. 617-779. That's from Quick Slants last night, NBC Sports Boston with Tommy Curran.
What are you guys going to ask him why he tried to punch that ball loose from Travis Kelce instead of trying to tackle him?
We can ask that.
I'm going to ask if he wanted to punch Kelce in the face.
All right.
We can absolutely ask that. He might say he doesn't want to talk about last week's game. He wants to focus on this week's game. He might pull one of those on us.
Hmm.
We'll ask.
Can ask him if that scenario comes up on the field this weekend, what's he going to do?
Yeah, well... Attaboy Jim. Attaboy Louthy.
Or to make it positive.
That makes up for that Greg Bedard clip you played.
I'm the producer looking for the clip for Van Noy, right? I'm just that producer looking for the clip to put out there.
That's right.
Way to work, boys.
producers making things bigger than they are. Brandon's in Boston. Hi, Brandon.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my phone call. So it's time to stop being gullible. You know, Patriots fans are gullible with these Patriots. It's time to stop putting this team on a pedestal. You know, they have too much history of cheating. Deflategate, Spygate, stealing hand signals, you know. And then check this out. You can film anywhere in the stadium, anywhere, but you chose to film on the sidelines, okay, where you can see hand signals, seeing how players can react. You know, it comes to a point where you have to look at this team and say, listen, you're cheaters, okay? Yeah. There's too much going on with this team. You know, you got Robert Kraft. Then you got Antonio Brown. This team's a big mess right now, and they're only putting themselves deeper in the hole. So I want to know what your thoughts. Stop being gullible. Just know that this team is cheaters right now.
Yeah. So 10-3 and a number two seed right now. If they went out, they retain the number two seed. How are they that much of a mess? How is this hurting them right now? What transpired on Sunday?
He just told you. Le'Veon with Antonio Brown.
Right.
It's a big mess.
Robert Kraft, Antonio Brown, Bill Belichick.
Stop putting it on the pedestal.
Tom Brady.
Put it on the pedestal.
Patriots.
Can we just go back for
Gillette
a second?
Just name Patriots-related things.
Because they weren't down on the sideline filming. They were up in the
Kraft
press box.
Sports right. Productions. I mean,
but wouldn't it have been kind of a cool piece? And again, hindsight being 2020 what it is. But wouldn't it have been kind of a cool piece to follow the scout, you know, from, you know, the Foxborough to the hotel, and then he gets in there and he said, but what the scout views in the press box is deemed so valuable, no cameras are allowed up there of any kind. So this is as far as we were able to go as he made his way up the elevator to the press level.
Click, end of story.
Right. Or
it's like
up
Sopranos
the,
with Tony, that bell jingles and someone walks through the door. Did Tony die? What happened?
Yeah, pick it up on the other side. I mean, it's like Jaws. Sometimes what you don't see is as good as what you do see. Probably not very helpful.
You mean
now,
when they're banging, when they pulled up that line and they thought it was a shark? The cable?
Whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Then you bang on it.
Right. What's lurking? But what is he looking at? We can't show you. It's so cool. You can't even see it.
Yeah. Maybe a day in the life of their pre- and post-game host on the
DiePatriots.com. Oh, wouldn't that be a good one?
Yeah.
A day in the life of Paul Perillo.
Yeah.
And Hardy.
He's not the host.
And sorry.
You could come over to Howl at the Moon, too, and see Beetle and all the people that show up to see him.
Yeah, now that'd be a show.
Yeah.
That'd be a show.
I would watch that.
It'd be a bleep show, but it'd be a show.
First of all, you can watch what I do, Patriots.com.
Right.
The camera's in there. Multiple angles. Shots of all of us.
Are you serious?
So you can't... Yes.
Drive to the stadium, the preparation.
Do you have any... Just out of curiosity, you have any drunk a-holes come by and harass you from time to time?
No, we are in a secure location.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
I do.
We are
like
secure.
They stand on a seat and scream in the booth in front of me.
Go five wide.
Yeah.
Hardy was able to pop out and take a video of the Chiefs equipment coming in, though.
Yeah. It was the first one.
Was that a legal recording? Did you run that by the Chiefs? Did you call their team and get a check with the media relations department on that one?
I got clearance from somebody with the team on to post that.
Oh, it's good.
You did?
I said, Paulie, can I post this? Oh. He said, yeah. Paul, can I put this up?
Oh, he's in here today.
Director of things. Oh, that should be comfortable for him. He probably is very much looking forward to that.
Oh, to visiting with Felger and
Mass
today?
He's very much looking forward to getting put on the hot seat for an hour and getting needled by Felger and Mass.
Well, he looks forward to it so much anyway, especially on a day like today.
That's great. Well, that's good. Patriots employee will be right in here today with Felger and Mass, and they will expect him to answer for the team. That's what I think they'll be doing today on Felger and Mass. We will have Dan Shaughnessy with us. He'll be on the hot seat. We'll needle him.
I bet he's going to Cincinnati now.
In the 11 o'clock hour. That is coming up.
About?
Stuff. We'll talk to Dan Shaughnessy at 11.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap. When the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Joe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll be right back.
617-779-0985, the phone number for you. Dan Shaughnessy coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on everything that has played out over the last couple of days. I'm sure there'll be those comments of his will be overwhelmingly positive.
I'm sure Scoop Shaughnessy's on it. He's down there digging around.
Oh,
he's
man.
Got connections.
Peter's in Holliston. Hi, Peter.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
So you said something earlier that I just wanted to correct real quick. You said that these other teams have no idea of doing, like, they're not doing this kind of stuff. And if you check YouTube, they all have these massive YouTube channels, and they all do these kind of videos. So
no, some do, and some don't.
No, they all do. They all do.
Okay.
Yeah, they're billion-dollar corporations who have people that they pay six figures to manage their online media that is separate from this.
Right. So
they
all I'm just going to tell you, when we're on the road, I get stopped, and we get stopped a lot about how do you guys do this stuff? When do you do it? Like, we have our own thing. Some of these people have to go to their own local TV studios to cut it. They don't have the in-house stuff.
Yeah, they might not have the facilities or the staff that the Patriots have, but they're all doing it some way, somehow.
They're all doing it. They all have, like, the mic'd up. They all have, like, you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, you look at all of these teams, they all have, you know, thousands of hours on YouTube of mic'd up and different kind of interviews and things like that. I get that the Patriots probably do it to a more extreme level because they're such a monster organization. That's fantastic. That's great. But that's not my point. The reason I called up is because what I'm most curious about is all of these sort of anonymous messages that the league is going to go easy on them. You guys both agree that no one has seen the tape. And with where these guys are at the fall meetings or winter meetings, whatever it's called down there. They're all in and out of hotels. They're all in and out of meetings. And there's not a single interview out there of one of these guys saying anything. So I feel like perhaps this is sort of part of the beginning of the spin control of this, where we're creating this, it's not that big a deal, we're talking about it up here, and if in the end they do get actually come down on hard, which I believe they should, then ultimately it makes more of an outrage for their fans to defend them. That being said, that's A. B, I think...
All right, Peter, we're gonna stop right there. That's 2 minutes on point
I got lost.
And I'll explain why it is. First of all, I'm consistent. I believe in good reporting and good reporters that have track records. And so I look at a report, not so much of Ian Rappaport. That's friendly territory for the Patriots. I look more at Mark Maskey. I don't think Mark Maskey is in the bag for anybody. I think that's one of the great NFL national reporters in the league, in the country. And I don't think Mark Maskey would report what he reported yesterday if it was bullcrap and it was being fed to him by the Patriots. I don't buy that. So I think when someone like Maskey puts it out there, that the tone at the league meetings is that this is going the Patriots' way and there's not a huge level of outrage, that I'm going to put a little stock in that. Now, you may end up being wrong. Great reporters still get things wrong. So I'd put more in stock in that than I would Rappaport. That's all. That's where I'm coming from on it.
I agree.
So there's his answer.
Yeah.
We'll have to get to point B tomorrow. We'll have to hit him up for that.
He's going to work on that,
Adam's in Lowell. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. Hardy, that was a great point about getting the balls getting punched out by Van Noy. But I feel like that's been a small problem for the defense all year. Like, you have guys going to punch out the ball, which can be a good thing, but not if you're whiffing on the tackle and giving up like four extra yards. So, I mean, I guess you can do it, but if it starts hurting you, just stop and just go for the damn tackle.
Well, I don't think it happens that often.
No, noticed it. I don't know about you, but I noticed it when they punched the ball loose. They're probably trying to do it a lot more, but the defense has been so good. It's, you know, we're getting into nitpicking time, and that's probably part of the reason why Kyle Van Noy didn't like hearing the booing, because as much as it probably was about the offense and their inability to score after that first touchdown, you did allow a lot of unanswered points there toward the end of the first half. So he know defensively wasn't their best game. And, you know, little plays like that, I think are worthy of a question from time to time. That's all.
Yeah, and Van Noy, obviously, you don't have to like getting booed. I get that. But at the same time, it's like, guy, if you don't play good, you're going to get booed. If you don't want to get booed, that's okay. Just ask for a trade to Arizona or L.A. or, you know, Jacksonville. You'll find there. You'll cut a check, and you won't get booed. There you go, buddy.
Well, I think they get booed in those markets, too.
Yeah.
But for another reason, they're a horrible,
team. That is a selective boo. That has not happened in a long time. And you were down 20-7, and you got completely outplayed in that second quarter. and the way that was trending, and that's how people felt. I like that it bugs him. It means they care.
Yeah.
They came out, played their ass off in the second half, especially on defense.
Greg is in Cincinnati today. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how you guys doing?
What's up, Greg?
I grew up in Providence, but my wife is from Cincinnati, and she trapped me out here a couple of years ago. And let me tell you something. The pizza here stinks. The sports stinks. The only thing that I can look forward to is Sundays with the Patriots.
What about
let me
that?
Tell you,
hold on. What about that Boathouse Montgomery Inn? How's that place?
Montgomery, I live 5 minutes away. The barbecue sauce is pretty damn good, so okay. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
But listen, this could not have come at a worse week for me. Okay, I'll be going to the game. My wife's family's got season tickets. And the only thing I can hold over the Bengals fans out here is the Patriots. And now we got this whole cheating accusation. What I want to know is, you know, what do the players think about all this? What are the good guys on the team, like McCourty, Slater, you know, Edelman? You know,
how about Van Noy? Does he count? We're going to ask Van Noy what he thinks of all this.
I think they think nothing of it.
He counts maybe for you, but right now I was curious about, like, McCourty and those guys.
Okay. Not high enough on the board for him.
Wow. He's talking like captains. I would think they think nothing of it. They're busy getting ready to prep for Cincinnati. They got their hands full. I'm sure they weren't shown the tape.
I just remember back in 2007 when it all started with Spygate, the players were like, what? I don't know. I've never seen any of these tapes. That was sort of their reaction, right?
Yeah.
You would know better than I, Zoe. You were.
Yes.
That's right? What. They're like, what? I don't know. I haven't seen any of these tapes because there was, you know.
Scouting info.
The secret tape room. Ernie and Bill and those who had high-level access to the room of tapes. Dan Shaughnessy is standing by. He'll be in studio with us after these headlines. No commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.